G'day, I'm Woz.
And I'm Nick, sometimes Coxie, mostly Nick.
This is the Tradies in Business podcast, and we're here to share a bunch of tips, ideas, tactics that you can put in place to get change happening in your trade business right now.
If you're really lucky, we're going to entertain you with a few mum jokes, and more importantly, a bunch of fantastic guests that will educate you in all things you need to know about trade business, but we do promise to do it with a whole bunch of fun along the way.
I'm a self-confessed idiot, so strap yourself in and enjoy another episode. Did they have television in the 70s?
They did have television in the 70s, Warwick.
Was it colour? It wasn't colour, was it?
I don't know. I was too little to remember. My first memory of TV, I would have been about four, which puts me into the 80s, unlike you.
Anyway, thanks for listening. Shortest episode in the history of the podcast.
You know, it's a Friday when we intro and we're already talking about some rubbish.
Yes. Television, hey. I am experienced enough, Nicole, to remember watching black and white television.
I actually have no memory of black and white TV.
It was only a short memory because it was quite early in my laps around the sun. That we transitioned to a colour telly, one where you had to get off your ass and walk to the television to change the channel and the volume. And remember the volume actually on the television set?
I can remember how cool I felt the very first time Mum and Dad got a video player with a remote. Remember, it was attached by a cord?
But my dad being my dad, God love him, so the black and white telly, and that was kind of the thing in the day. Like, it came in this beautiful teak cabinet with trifold doors and everything. And so when they got a colour telly, what he did was he cut the old TV out of the timber cabinet and modified it so he could put the colour television in the same cabinet. So these cupboard doors on the front that, you know, you opened up the doors to get access to the colour television, but it never quite fit the same. So there's gaps around it. And he had some ply, like packing the TV up so that it was all levels. Like, typical Roy. Good on you, Roy. Love you, mate.
Quite the same, Dad.
Yeah, it was hilarious. And then, you know, progressed to all of the modern stuff. But, yeah, televisions, hey? Do you watch much television, Nick?
I watch not a lot. Weekends are my television time. Sunday afternoons, I'm down for TV. The rest of the time, life's pretty busy.
How many televisions are there in your house?
That's an excellent question. Do you want working televisions or do you want me to include non-working televisions?
Now, I happen to know that there is nothing about you or your family that is TV repair business. So why would you have non-working televisions in your house?
I seem to have a couple of non-working televisions. I can't tell you why they're here, but I have them here. And then I have some of the kids' TVs. They've moved out, but they didn't need a television. So they're sitting here downstairs waiting for the day they need a television. I don't know.
Just in case.
I
can't answer that. Because you never know. Like, it's like hanging on to, you know, the offcuts of timber that just seem to accumulate. And it's like, you just never know when you're going to need a 1,378 millimeter long piece of 95 by 30. Like, you just never know.
You don't.
And you need it in treated and untreated.
And then there'll be different profiles that you want for different times.
Oh, 100%. I'm not even a tradie and I accumulate all that shit.
I'm trying to remember. So we've got one in the lounge. There's one in the sitting room, but there's a spare one in the sitting room waiting to take down the old one in the sitting room. Still works, but doesn't pick up Netflix. So that's three.
Useless.
I've just had one delivered. There is a story to come about that one, listeners. Hang on. So that makes four. That's on the back deck. Let's stick on the back deck. And then downstairs is one that doesn't work at all in the kids' sitting room, but I don't have children at home anymore, so it doesn't matter that it's not working. It just hasn't made it to the dump.
I just like that you're clearly committed to reducing landfill.
Well,
I'm storing all the shit at your place.
You never know. So I've got two. I've got six we're talking about now, and two of those need to go to the bin in the heaven. And then I have another three that belong to children that are sitting downstairs in various states, in various rooms, ready to go back to them at some particular time. So six, seven, eight, nine televisions in this house.
I don't think you are one of these, Coxie, and I'm pretty sure there's support groups for hoarders. There's therapy, I'm sure.
Not a hoarder, but I do have two televisions I need to throw out and probably another couple I need to make children pick up.
Well, you got to make some room for the one that got delivered today.
Well, it's going into a new location on the back deck, ready for, okay, so I don't like car racing. I find that pretty boring, but I love the drags and very soon, eventually, when it's cool enough. We have a lot of drags up here locally, but we spend a bit of time at home before and after, and you can stream directly, which means I can have a party on my back deck and be watching the drags. And if I'm real lucky and it's winter dance time, I can actually hear from my house the Top Fuel is going at the same time as I see him on screen. It's very cool.
Bogan, sorry.
I am a bogan. That's okay. Get that out yet. We're in a lot of strife. No, I have a television on the back deck for that and for grand final day, because come football season, grand final day is a big day in our family. And so I've purchased a television to put on the back deck to watch a bit of football and a bit of drag racing. That is boganish. But there is a purpose to this story.
Well, it's a good thing you ordered it long before the events that you want to watch, because it took how long to turn up?
2 months.
Was it coming from, I don't know, Peru or something?
No, it came from like six suburbs over. 2 months ago, I jumped online and ordered a television, because it's not a fancy one. It's just a TV that can pick up all the internet things. Smart TV. Ordered a television. At the time they said it was a hot special. I think it was like $250. It's like a cheap TV.
Oh, I love the word hot and special put together, especially at a Thai restaurant.
Yeah, it's not going to end well. So ordered it. They told me at the time there'd be a 2-week delay, but it would be delivered within 14 days. That was 2 months ago.
Is that more than 14 days?
I think it might be a few days.
A couple more than 14.
Now, it was from I'm going to call it Harvey Norman, big organization. They're usually pretty good at this stuff. I had some other stuff on order and it all came immediately. I had no problems with the rest of the order. I had to chase them up when we got to I think we were 5 weeks in, and I chased them up and it took them 3 weeks, almost 3 weeks for them to answer just my email, in which they said, I'm so sorry for the delay. Your television will be there on Tuesday.
And did you get a packet of M&Ms or a card or anything?
No firm apology. No, this is what happened. No explanation or understanding. Just, you know, you paid for it 2 months ago, but here it is finally on your doorstep.
Oh, you just poked me in a sore spot about this. There's kind of a point. There's kind of a teaching point to everything we do. I can't open my mouth without turning it into a freaking lesson or an analogy or something. Everyone who knows me knows that. Something that really, really gets a bug up my ass, Coxie, is online shopping.
Oh.
And having a newborn kid in the house, you know, you can imagine how much money we've managed to spend on stuff in the last 5 months and prior to that, before he was born. But the number of times, and it's not just baby stuff, it's so many damn things. You go online, it shows us in stock. You click the button, say add to cart. I put in my card details and all that jazz. And I click let's go. And I get an email to say my order's been confirmed. And then I wait for the, you know, your order's been shipped. You know, within 2 or 3 business days, I feel as I kind of expect it next day at least, because it's online, right? It's meant to be instant.
Yep.
Next day goes by. Next day goes by. Week goes by. 2 weeks go by. The number of times that happens, and then, like you say, have to email the company, because you can't call these online shopping businesses.
Oh, you held yourself back very well there.
Mm-hmm. And for now. So you send an email and wonder if it goes anywhere, if anyone gives a shit.
Yes.
And you send another email. And my wife's done this a few times now and was saying to me the other day about something. She's like, oh, I've emailed them so many times. I said, just go to their social media, honey. Just smash that shit up. Get all over their Instagram, their Facebook. Give them a 1-star thing on Google.
Yep.
Just go and hit them hard, because it's the only currency we have as consumers with these pricks.
Absolutely.
And then you get this bullshit back. We literally got back from one company a while back. Oh, we're a small family business doing our best to keep up. It's like, I don't give a fuck. I'm a small family business too, and I just gave you shitloads of my money.
Yeah.
The least you can do is send the fucking product.
Or an update at the very, very least. I mean, if there is a delay, we need to be saying so on the website and then send an update to say it's on its way.
But like, I know I'm not talking a $50 item, Coxie.
No.
Like, I'm talking close to $1,000.
Yeah.
And 6 weeks later it turns up because, I don't know, we were busy, or the one that I've tripped over a few times lately
is it's in stock on the website. I click, I do all the thing, I complete my purchase, and then I get an email the next day to say, unfortunately, our supplier is out of stock of this item.
Yes.
We're waiting on a shipment. I'm like, but your website said you had it in stock. Isn't that like somehow against the frickin' law? And I haven't bothered with fair trading or ASIC or whatever yet, but man alive, that shits me because I'm giving them money and you and I teach business, right?
Uh-huh.
This is good for their cash flow and shit yes, for mine.
Absolutely.
So unless this is some sort of standard play that businesses are running to take money and delay, you know, drag out the delivery of, it's a good cash flow strategy. Imagine if builders did this the opposite way to how they normally get shafted. You know, yeah, they fund the project and then wait 3 months to get paid. It's like the reverse of that. It's a bloody brilliant cash flow strategy.
It is.
It's got drop shipping. And it shits me.
Absolutely. This happened with the lights for my kitchen reno. Ordered them 6 weeks later, hadn't received the lights, reached out to the company. They sent an update to say, I'm sorry, our supplier's out of stock. I said, well, that's no good. The electrician's here because you said you're going to deliver them within 6 weeks. Are you going to pay for the electrician to come back and redo it? Eventually, they sent me another set of lights because they could no longer give me the lights I originally ordered. So not only did I pay for a set that I didn't receive, I had to take something else that was substandard, and I could have gone to another website and ordered the lights I wanted from there.
And I don't mind if it's a drop shipping scenario.
Just tell
me. Let's not be a sneaky prick about it and lie about having stock. And here's the rub, and this is why I really wanted to – actually, I didn't really want to get wound up about this, but I have. Oh, I had too many coffees already today, Coxie.
Is that why?
If tradies ran their businesses like this, if you and I ran our business like this, if my wife ran her healthcare business like this, like she works with NDIS clients, they are on the hunt for practitioners at the moment because they're trying to save money, as in the NDIS, we would all be crucified.
Mm-hmm.
And yet it seems to be somehow we've all just got to stomach it.
Yep.
This shit service. I just don't understand how it's okay to have this double standard. Can you please help me, Nicole, solve this bloody problem? Because otherwise I just don't know how I'm going to go on.
I cannot help you. I'm sorry. I don't know how the problem came about. I think it started with people with the bigger organizations. You know, when we got it, think about the way Telstra treats everybody.
No, don't. Please don't bring that up.
Yes. Anyway,
let's bring up Australia Post.
Oh, while we're at it. Yes. Or any, how about all of the government agencies? We recently dealt with the government agency. How fine.
Oh,
up
my are. Gosh.
What about if, you know, you've got to spend half an hour on hold before you can even choose the right option to talk to somebody? How would it be if I put all of our clients through that? You're just going to have to sit in the waiting room on Zoom on your own, listening to the worst music of your entire life. So I figure out if you're actually serious and want help or not.
Don't forget the recording though, Nicole. We're experiencing an unusually high volume of calls at the moment. Your call is number 743 in the queue.
I recently read, so I have some family members that are going through the process of applying for their part pension. They've finally reached retirement. And they're trying to apply. Essentially, they'll end up with a pension card, it's a pension card. So they'll get their medications and things cheaper, which is really important when you've got superannuation. The only thing that's happening is the money's coming out. Nothing's ever going back in anymore. Mm-hmm. So it's a big deal to them. And I then went on and researched how long the average claim could take. It's up to an entire quarter, 3 months, because Centrelink are 1 million claims behind.
That's only 5% of the population.
How on earth can we get 1 million claims behind? And that's where it starts.
They're busy re-recording all of the wait messages.
But isn't that where it just became, you know, what right of reply have I got if Centrelink doesn't do what I would like it to do? Or what right of reply have I got with poor Telstra, those poor, beautiful call center people?
Oh, my gosh.
I apologize to them every time. Me too. Because I'm so frustrated and the frustration leaks out of my voice as much as I might try to hold it back. And I know it's not their fault and there's absolutely nothing they can do about it. So, you know, if it starts there, right? And then eventually, because, I'm going to call it and be a bit pokey in the chesty, business owners can be two types. There's the type that plays above the line and takes responsibility and accountability for everything. And then there's the type that plays below the line and uses blame, essentially, is what we're probably mostly talking about here, or in excuses. So same, same. And so you end up with this family business who 6 weeks out, you've paid them $1,000 for a product. 6 weeks later, you still don't have it. We're a small family business and we're running behind, or we're doing our best to keep up. Bullshit. Don't take my money. Put a hold on my card, but don't take my money until you can fulfill the order. But it becomes all right because society is used to being treated that way.
Well, you often say to our tradiepreneur clients, Coxie, we teach people how to treat us.
Absolutely.
And consumers have taught small online businesses to treat us like shit.
Yes.
Because, and look, the system is somewhat rigged, because what recourse have I got against them? I can't get my money back. If I, you know, if I went to Woolworths or Coles, I try and stay away from those two shithead companies, but, you know, if I go to any grocery store, an independent, and I put all the stuff in the trolley and I pay the money, and then the checkout person says, oh, sorry, you can't have this yet. These are all empty boxes. They're just placeholders on the shelves. You're like, get fucked. Give me my money back.
Absolutely.
I'm leaving without it. But because there's this distance between it, we've lost the human interaction with that whole exchange of value. You know, I'm giving you my fun tickets, my money, my dollars, and you're supposed to give me my fun thing back.
Yes.
Or the thing that's going to help my kids sleep so I'm less miserable. And when that doesn't happen, the equation is way out of whack. And then I feel like, well, you've got me by the you know what's. What can I do? Give you a one-star review on Google?
Which, like we say to our clients all the time, they don't necessarily hurt unless there's dozens of one-star reviews all saying the same thing.
And most people are like, you know, my wife, who, despite the fact she can be scary sometimes, that's usually because I'm an idiot, but she's a lovely person and she doesn't want to put bad shit out to the universe. So she kind of just goes, well, you know, that's a lesson for us. I'm like, I'm sick of taking fucking lessons on this stuff. How about somebody else gets taught some shit about this poor customer service? And I always feel angry about it because of you listening to this episode who just get, well, not getting shafted all the time, but run the risk of customer backlash and media backlash because, you know, bloody tradies. And I know Coxie and I carry on about that quite a bit here on the show. But it's always been the same in my businesses. You know, I was in financial planning sector for years and holy moly, is there some scrutiny of financial planners? Mm-hmm. Always was. And it's way more now than ever before. And it's, you're almost, you know, guilty until you can prove that you've done a good job.
Yeah.
And you see people say, oh, I want someone who's not going to rip me off. So, shithead.
Yet you'll happily shop at Woolworths and Coles.
Yeah. The irony, Coxie, the irony.
That was my head in. Oh. It's certainly a contentious issue. I don't know that there is a solution to this other than, I guess, not standing for it, but how do you not stand for it? I could absolutely go back to Harvey Norman and say, hey, stick the television up your backside. I want my refund. Thanks. I could absolutely do that. And unfortunately, the choice for me is to go to another company that will do something very similar. And so you feel like you're caught in this position of not being able to make a difference. And so that then filters through so much more of society. I had an interesting conversation with somebody this week who has a child going through horrendous stuff at school and they feel powerless. And I think that's absolutely shit. School is a government-run organization in this case very much because it's a state school. They don't feel like they've got a right or reply or recourse. The child doesn't feel safe physically at school. And they feel stuck, like they can't do anything about it. I just think it's woeful to think that in so many avenues of our lives, we feel this stuck. And yet as trade business owners, we feel like we are stuck again in this position of the customer always being right. And I'm going to bend over backwards to make it okay for you because I guess that's what we've allowed. Or we've, you know, the consumer has taught us that's the currency that we will respond with. if you don't do what I say when I say it the way I want it done, I'm going to complain about you on Google. Maybe the converse thing here for a trade business owner is to turn and look at, well, how can we make that a positive experience, a one-star review?
Yeah, and I think that's the point, Nick. There are a lot of things outside of our control.
Absolutely.
And the way online shopping is set up with drop shipping and, you know, false claims about stock levels and stuff, that's become the norm.
Yes.
And expecting government to do something about it, I'll be dead before that happens.
Mm-hmm.
So I can either get all in a tears about it, which I've already done, so I kind of failed there, or I can eat my own cooking and go, all right, well, that's how things are. I should know that by now. I've had enough shit experiences to know that,
yeah,
and accept that I'm paying the price of convenience because I don't want to drive into town here, and I live in a regional part of Australia, and half this shit I can't even get down here without paying $1 billion in shipping if I want to get it through a local retailer.
Mm-hmm.
So I should actually thank my lucky stars and praise everybody that I can get some cool shit sent to me inside of a couple of months and I don't have to get off my ass out of my lounge room.
I'll bet you do, because doesn't Australia Post never leave it in your letterbox?
Oh, stop it. That's a whole nother episode.